Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is Mother's Day. And today what we'd like to do is look at the life of a mother, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. The Bible says, and in the sixth month, that would be the sixth month that Elizabeth, since the conception of John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. That's a fabulous passage of Scripture. We want to preach some things out of that passage this morning that show us great characteristics in a mother that we find in the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we go any further, we're going to have a word of prayer. And this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask Zach Bates, would you pray for us, please? Amen. You know, the question comes to mind, why Mary? What sort of woman did God choose to be the mother of His Son? And by looking at some of those characteristics, it would help those of you who are here today to be that kind of mother if you want to be the best that you can be. She sets the example. She's an ordinary woman in all respects, but she sets that example. And so we'd like to look at her life. Now, some of this will apply to those who aren't married but hope to be married. And I'm looking around here and there are a number of you that are here today. And then a lot of these are going to also apply to those of you who are married. And so we want to look at everything that we have in this text that we've read today that would help us as we celebrate Mother's Day. First of all, look in Luke chapter 1 and verse 27. Gabriel came to her, right? Verse 27 says, To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I was raised in the Catholic Church, and so we always referred to her as the Blessed Virgin. And the thing that was stressed is the fact that she and Joseph had not come together before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't come together before their marriage, and they didn't come together in their marriage until the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. She kept herself for her husband. So I would say this, first of all, to all the young ladies that are here today, as we think about motherhood and as we think about you, one of these days becoming a mother, having married a spouse and raising children, keep this in mind. The ideal mother and the mother's example that you want to follow is to remain pure. She was a virgin. And that's very important. It needs to be said. Because this day, what we're seeing and what you see is that all the examples of the women to follow, all the examples of the women that are idolized, have not kept themselves for their husbands. They're adulteresses. And Mary, on the other hand, remained pure. So what I say to you is this. If you're not married but hope to be married, if you're not married and you hope to be a good mother, wait until you are married. Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. We understand that you're young when your body changes. We understand that. And that there are desires that come with those changes. And Paul said, flee youthful lusts. He said in another place, and he was very specific when he said it, flee fornication. Listen, if you wait, you will be very careful whom you marry. You see, what happens today in society is a young lady finds somebody that she's interested in, and a young man finds a young lady that he's interested in, and they begin backwards. They start with the physical and don't develop the spiritual relationship. And then what happens, if they decide that they don't like each other, they break up, and then now they've already experienced these things, and those desires are there, so the next time they get into a relationship, they do that all again. And if they decide in that relationship they don't like each other, then they stop. And you know what has happened is they establish a pattern so that when you marry, if you don't like your husband, you just break off that relationship and go get another one. But marriage is a lot more sacred to God than that. Because the Bible says when men and women come together in marriage and flesh joins flesh, they become one flesh. And what God hath therefore put together, let not man put asunder. And so the best way to be sure that you have properly prepared yourself for marriage is to do what Mary did. She says to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You, when you marry, want to be sure when you're standing there looking into the eyes of your groom and the pastor is putting this marriage together, that will be the first time that you've ever been with a man. Amen. 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 You know what? You won't be inclined to leave because this is the person with whom you have intended to spend the rest of your life. And you will remember that in Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And though you haven't seen lightning strike down and consume those who have already begun these physical relationships before marriage, when the Bible says God will judge, God will judge. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I want you to move on to another topic here because I've already messed up in this regard. We've heard all this we want to hear. Let me say this. If in your life what you've just now heard is not consistent with the way you've lived, stop. and keep yourself pure until you marry. Just do that. That's what she was. That's a great example of motherhood. Motherhood starts with keeping yourself until you marry. The second thing we see about her is found in verse 27. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. She was a virgin, but she was espoused, listen, to a good man. Joseph was a God-fearing man. Keep your finger here because this is our text, but turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, which is just, you know, right in front of you. You've got Luke and then you've got Mark in front of Luke and you got Matthew in front of Mark, so it's not hard to find. And look at Matthew chapter 1, and the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and Luke, but the angel appears to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. And notice what happens. In Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He's like, man, she's messed up and she's pregnant, so I'm not going to make a public spectacle of her, but I don't want to marry this woman. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Well, when he heard that, really changed his mind. So then look in verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph was a God-fearing man, and he did what the angel told him to do. Imagine now for just a second, so you get this thing in perspective. You read that in the story here, you think, well, that's what happened. And it is. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes and put yourself back in the days of that society. His wife is pregnant before they marry. His wife is pregnant while they're married, but they haven't come together. Everybody knows something has happened. Years later in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he is having it out with the Pharisees in John chapter 8, they say and throw this in his face, we be not born of fornication. So see, that reputation traveled with him and with that family all the way until Jesus Christ was already in his 30s. In other words, Joseph made a decision to follow God in spite of the fact that the society in which they were living would always accuse him and Mary of a scandal. That's an amazing thing. He was a God-fearing man. We don't use that term enough today, do we? That was an old term I remember from my childhood. So-and-so was the salt of the earth. We used to hear that. And he was a God-fearing man. What am I saying? Young ladies, when you are defining the characteristics of the person you want to marry, top of the list ought to be a God-fearing man. A saved man. And not only a saved man who has a testimony of salvation, but a man who is living for the Lord. That Bible says you're going to be in subjection unto your own husband. You want to be in subjection to a man who's in subjection to Jesus Christ. That was Joseph. You say, yeah, but that's going to rule out about 98% of all possibilities. Amen. That's going to also rule out 98% of your heartache. He was a family man. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, that Mary and Joseph had more children. This child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. But Jesus had four brothers and sisters. So Mary and Joseph together had four boys and at least two girls. The Bible doesn't tell us if there were more because it doesn't tell us how many sisters there were, but there was more than one. So they had six more children. He was a family man. He was a God-fearing man, but he was a family man. The same would be true when you're considering being a mother. You want to marry a good father. Do you ever think about that? He's good looking. That doesn't mean he's a good father. He's a family man. A man who would be able to take responsibility for leadership with children that they might grow up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. He was a good father who kept his family in subjection. You're in Luke chapter 1. Look at Luke chapter 2. Now, you're reading about Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2. And look at verse 80. Where am I? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 80, and y'all are like, wow, how did you get 80 verses in Luke chapter 2? It was a miracle. I'll just have to explain it later. Verses 51 and 52. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. God manifest in the flesh, look at this in verse 51, was subject unto them. Jesus Christ willingly submitted himself to that man. May I tell you something? That was a good man. For him to submit himself there. He had the character to raise Jesus Christ in a way where Jesus Christ would grow in favor with God and with man. Not only that, he was a working man. You know, it's strange today when young ladies are considering mating up, as I heard one preacher put it. They don't consider at that moment whether this is a guy who can provide for them and take on a job and the responsibility of a job and the responsibility of a household and provide enough income so if she decides that she doesn't want to work, that she needs to stay home and raise their children, he's able to provide for them. You ought to think about that. Joseph was just such a man. He was a working man and he had the character to work and support his family. You know what his occupation was. He was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. Doesn't mean you have to make a lot of money. You just have to make enough to be able to take care of your family. All right, notice this. Not only was she a virgin and espoused to a good man, but she also was favored by the Lord. Look in verses 28 through 30 in Luke chapter 1. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored." Wow, what a compliment. "Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, that is the angel, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, this is no way for a man to come and talk to a young woman. "Hail thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." What kind of salutation is this? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary," watch it, "for thou hast found favor with God." Okay, this applies to every woman that is here. Concentrate on this one thing, finding favor with God. Finding favor with God. You know what? You are not going to find favor with the Lord by seeking favor among your friends. It won't happen. If you want to be popular among your girlfriends or popular among your boyfriends on campus, you're not going to find popularity and favor with the Lord. Because those two groups are mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean that you have to be a nerd. It doesn't mean that you have to be proud and go around with your nose in the air and say, "I'm a Christian," and all of you guys are, you know, just a bunch of thugs. They are, but you don't have to say that. But I've noticed something. We call it peer pressure. I went through it. Sometimes I think people forget, with the hair falling out on the top of my head and the hair turning gray on the side of my head, that I was ever a teenager. But we were, weren't we? And we know the pressures of trying to find favor with your friends. you can't find favor with your friends and favor with God. Now, Jesus Christ grew up in favor with God and man, right? When you find, listen, when you are concerned about favor with God, others who are concerned about favor with God will find favor with you, and you will find favor with them. That's the crowd. Those are the ones that you want to be concerned with. Your peers are fickle and worldly. Those of us who are much older now that thought our high school buddies were going to be with us forever, how many of you today still have two high school buddies that are your best friends? Raise your hand. One, two, three. Yeah, out of 200 people. Four, excuse me. You see what I'm saying? It's not that it's not possible. Certainly they're there, but that's not the way it is with most of us. How many of you, your best friends, are people that you made friendship with after you came to the Lord and they are close to you like brothers or close to you like sisters? That's everybody else that didn't raise their hand except those that just don't know how to be friendly. They can't find favor with anybody. Thank God they can have favor with the Lord. Amen. You know, God's the only one that matters. He really is. I believe that the friends that I have today are the friends that God brought into my life. And it's for that reason I am so thankful for the favor that I have with the Lord and the favor that I have with men. And I say the same thing to you. When you find favor with the Lord, then the people God puts in your life are going to be the people who will continue in your life to allow you to have favor with God. So spend time with the Lord. You say, how do I have fellowship with a God that I cannot see? Read your Bible. Because He reveals Himself to you here. And spend time with Him in prayer. You know, when you spend time with the Lord in prayer over a period of time, what happens is that little 5-minute prayer life, which is good, becomes 6, and 6 becomes 8, and 8 becomes 10, and 10 becomes 15, and so forth and so on, and 15 becomes an hour. And you say, why is that? Because you and God are beginning to spend time in fellowship together, and you like it, and He likes it, and you have favor with God. Listen, that is a great, great attribute of motherhood. When a mother finds favor with the Lord, as she is dealing with her own children, God is on your side. And those of us who are raising children, those of us who have raised children, we know this one thing. We need God on our side. All right, look at another thing about her. In verse 37, Luke chapter 1, verse 37 and 38. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now, you know something? We're going to look at one other verse real quick, 45. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is Mary. And Mary is she's young. All right? Zacharias and Elizabeth are the parents of John the Baptist. Were they young? No, they were old. As a matter of fact, Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age. That's why she was called barren, and that's why it was such a surprise to Mary when she found out that she had conceived. So they're old. Now, Zacharias is a man. Zacharias is a priest. Zacharias, listen, and Elizabeth were blameless before the Lord. In other words, as it concerns the law, they were living in accordance with the law. Who do you think would be more likely to believe God? The old priest who had been living blamelessly before the Lord and serving Him, or some young girl that's just getting started? The old guy. But it didn't turn out that way. An angel showed up to Zacharias when he's in the temple at the time of prayer offering incense, and he says, your wife's going to have a baby. And he goes, well, shut my mouth. And the angel did. He didn't believe it. And Mary came in there and he says, well, this is what's going to happen. Now you think about this. The conception between an old man and an old woman. Are there such things? An elderly woman. He affectionately calls her my old lady. That's pretty impossible. But the conception with a virgin, that is like really impossible. And he says, that's what's going to happen. She goes, cool with me. He said, nothing. She, how's that going to be? No, I know not a man. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to do it. And he says, nothing's impossible with God. She said, I believe that. Let me know when it's time. That is remarkable. You know what that tells me about Mary? And then what it really ought to instill in us today as we preach to our mothers? She was willing, listen, to live by faith. As mothers, we've already dealt with the preparation for it, but as mothers, find favor with the Lord and live by faith. Blessed is she that believed. You say, but what is living by faith? Living by faith, you want to simplify it? I'll tell you what it is. Trusting God. Just trusting God for everything. For your children, for your husband, for your household, for your provision, for your health, for your mental stability, for your emotion, for your love, for the relationship with your husband to grow strong, for the children to return to the Lord or keep from straying. It's simply trusting God. She believed the angel. She trusted she would conceive as a virgin. You say, well, how do I trust God? How do I know if I'm trusting God? It happens the same way every time. When people start living by faith, and they text or email or call and we have conversations, they always say this, I was reading in my Bible and the Lord showed me this verse of Scripture, and this verse of Scripture applies specifically to the situation I was facing. I hear it every single time. And you know what that is? That's living by faith. They come to the place where God reveals Himself and reveals His instructions, and they find out what to do and they do it. So listen. In the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, your husband is not always going to follow this book. Even if he's a God-fearing man, even if he saved himself for you, there are just going to be times when, because we're men, he takes off and starts doing something that's a bonehead decision. And the Bible says you are to be in subjection to him, even when he's without the word. How can you do that? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 5 says, because the women of old, like Sarah, who trusted their husbands, listen, trusted in God. That's how you do it. You live by faith and trust that God will lead your husband and therefore lead your family. And you do it by finding your instructions here in these book, in these pages of this book. Every time that I have found mothers who got messed up in their marriages, and I've seen many. You know, we used to help over in the Jubilee home and preach and teach. Every time we found mothers who messed up in their homes, exactly the same thing happened. Dust grew on the pages of their Bibles. You say, how do you know that? Because I asked every new group that came in there, can I ask you one question? Did dust start gathering on the cover of your Bible? Every hand would rise. That's not living by faith. And I know something about men. We can't live as Christians without following the words of this Bible. And I know something about women. Women cannot follow God without following what's written in this book. You want to be a good mother? Find favor with the Lord and live by faith. Live by faith. Jesus said to us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what this Bible does? It's a very unique book. And I'll tell you why it's so important, then we'll go on to this next thing. This supernatural book, when you read it, gets inside of you and does a work on the inside of you that nothing else in all of life can do. it will change you into the person God wants you to be. Why was Mary such a good mother? She was a virgin. She was espoused to a good man. She was favored by the Lord. She was willing to live by faith. And watch this. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God." What are the next two words? My Savior. How many of you were taught when you were a child that Mary's birth... Let me say it again. How many of you were taught when you were a child that Mary's birth was an immaculate conception? Yeah. You know what you just found out? Do you know what you just found out when you read those two verses? It wasn't. It wasn't. Watch. Look at it again. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, whom? My Savior." She needed a Savior. Now think about this, because here's the point. Why was she such a good mother? Because she was willing to humble herself and get saved. She was willing to humble herself and get saved. The best moms in the world are saved moms. If anybody had an opportunity to stand before God and say, "I'm the exception. I'm the mother of your son," she did. If anybody had the opportunity to walk around in pride, she did. Look at verse 42 and 43. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" You see that? There's no other woman in all of history. There's no other woman in all of the universe that can say that. She's the only one. And she, rather than getting up on the pedestal that men have put her on, came off of that pedestal and humbled herself and said, "My soul doth rejoice in God, my Savior." You know why? You know why women, since we're talking about mothers today, don't get saved? Because they're not concerned about having favor with the Lord. Because they're not willing to believe what the Bible said, and because they're not willing to humble themselves and trust Jesus Christ. You say, "Yeah, but my children are grown now." Doesn't make a difference. Every mother that I've seen who even late in life received Jesus Christ as her Savior, if she wasn't saved, turned out to be a better mother. This is a Mother's Day. Wouldn't you want to be the best mother you can possibly be? Saved mothers are better mothers than mothers who are lost without Christ. You say, why is that? Oh, they may not have necessarily better character. They may not be able to cook better. They may not be able to do better laundry and all the things that occupy your time. They may not be as talented in business and art and everything that other mothers are known for. But I know this, they have a connection with God. And this, listen, mothers, listen very carefully. Do you want your children to be in heaven when they die, or do you want your children to be in hell when they die? Where do you want them to be? Every mother I have ever met has said the same thing. I want my children to be in heaven. And I've had to do funerals for mothers who have lost their children. That's devastating. The one singular comfort that I have found among those who have lost children is that when they know their children are saved because they died so young, or they know their children were saved because they received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they were at least somewhat comforted in their grief because they knew their children were in heaven. Now, this is a tragedy. If you want your children to be in heaven, why is it that you don't want to be in heaven with them for eternity when you die? the only way that you can do that is by doing what she did and trusting God, my Savior. It's the only way. There's no other way for you to be in heaven. You say, well, I'd have to humble myself in order to do that. That's what Mary did. And she had to humble herself more than you would have to humble yourself to be saved. One of these days you're going to pass. It just happens. And in the ordinary course of life, you're going to pass before your children do. And I've done funerals for people who have lost their fathers. And I've done funerals for people who have lost their mothers. And they're not the same funeral. When our fathers are gone, mine's been dead 21 years. When our fathers are gone, that's Dad. And there's something real special about that. When our mothers are gone, we lose that connection to how we got here. It's different. I've seen it on the face of every child in literally the hundreds of funerals that I've done over the life. You say, what's your point, preacher? My point is this. One of these days, you're not going to be with us. And your children are going to be sitting on the front row of a funeral home or a graveside or a church. And your casket or your urn are going to be presented in front of that group of people who have come to pay their respects. And your children are going to wonder where you are. They're going to miss you, and they're going to want to see you again. And if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't see each other again if they go to heaven and you don't. And that's a worse tragedy than you passing from this life to the next. Mary humbled herself as much as any woman could humble herself to magnify God, my Savior. It would be a little thing for you today to simply say, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to settle this now. I need to be saved. I cannot stand the thought of my children sitting in a funeral home or a church or a graveside not knowing where I am. I want my faith to be clear. I want to have it established. And I want my children to know I have trusted the Lord. How do they know that? Mary said, I magnify the Lord. You just tell them, I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. This is settled. This is settled. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful today for us to have the opportunity to look at the example of marriage. In her example, Lord, we have been instructed. We have seen instruction for young ladies all the way until those who are here today as mothers who are not saved. What a tremendous testimony the mother of Jesus Christ is. I'm thankful, thankful, thankful for the instruction we received today. I pray for any young lady here who has her heart on Marian that she will follow what Mary did and preserve her purity till marriage. That she won't espouse to just a man, but she will espouse to a good man. That she'll concern herself with favor of the Lord. For every mother here, that would be more important than anything else in life. And that all would be willing to live by faith. And that those without Christ today would be willing to humble themselves and receive Jesus Christ. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to ask you this simple question. Is there any mother here today without Christ that would raise your hand right now and say, today I want to receive Jesus. I just need to settle that right now. I want my children to know where I am when I pass. Anybody today, just slip your hand up, slip it right back down. I want to pray for you. Any mother? Is there anybody here today, if you're not a mother, that would raise your hand and say, preacher, I want my family to know where I am when I die. Thank you. I see that. I don't want to go through this life without Christ anymore. Thank you. I've seen that. Is there anybody else? Oh, what a beautiful, fabulous day to receive Jesus Christ. If your mother is with you today and you receive Jesus Christ, you don't even know. It'll be literally, except for your birth, it'll be the happiest day of your mother's life, your new birth. Father, you've seen the response of this one, and you have certainly preached the word to us today. Father, I'm asking you to have your will and your way in this service now so that we can, without any delay, any failure, see people lined up with this life of Mary and people receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful day. Now, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Listen, one has responded, I want Jesus Christ. It's a matter of receiving Jesus Christ. It's a matter of sitting and saying, Lord, I receive you. Believing, actually, on the Lord Jesus Christ. The confession is simply saying what's happening in your heart. If you want to receive Jesus Christ today, the thing to do as soon as we stand is just to slip out of your seat. Our associate pastor, Randy Knuppel, is in the back with his wife, Maureen. And they'll gladly show you quickly from the Scripture what you've just heard, how to receive Jesus Christ, and you will leave here with faith in Christ and how happy you will be. Don't delay. Respond today. Father, have your will and your way in this service, for we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.